Welcome to the New World Order Disorder, a weekly broadcast hosted by Dr. Gianni Hayes. Stay tuned. Things are about to get interesting.
Well, good evening, listeners. This is Dr. Gianni Hayes, and you're listening to my show, The New World Order Disorder, on the American Voice Radio Network, and we are heard around the world, around the globe, around the universe. We are heard everywhere. We have guests from all parts of the world, various countries, and, you know, you can't beat a show like this because Frank, who owns the network, does a heck of a job of getting great host and great guest, and we are a very popular station, and you can listen to us a variety of ways. Of course, you're listening to us maybe by the internet right now, and that's only one way, and you just go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and you hit where it says listen, and you have your opportunity to hit one of those ways, servers to do that. Or you could go into the chat room, and that's very simple. When you go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com, at the top right-hand corner it says chat room, and you click on chat room, and when you get into the chat room, there's a browser that comes up, and all you have to do is put in a name. It doesn't even have to be your real name. It could be any name that makes you happy. You don't even have to put a password in. And then you're going to be right in the chat room, and you could ask questions, you could make comments. We just ask you to try to stick to what the discussion is about on air so that, you know, we're all working together here. Another way you can listen to us is simply by going to the phone bridge. Let's say you can't get internet, and you can't get us on satellite, and you can't get us on podcasts or by iPods or cell phones, or shortwave radio, or you can't even get us across the country on various FM stations because, as I said, we're a large network. You can hear us many different ways. You have one other alternative, and all you have to do is dial, and this is simple now, what's called a phone bridge, 712-580-1100, 712-580-1100. And when the automated voice comes on and says, please, punch in your number, you hit 97524 pound, hit the pound sign, and you are going to be listening to the show right through the phone. If you have a speakerphone, connect it, and everybody in the house then can listen. So look at the ways you can get this show. You can get us by shortwave, satellite, FM radio stations, the internet, by rebroadcast, podcast, cell phones, iPods, the phone bridge, and you can even go into the chat room. And last but not least, you could call in live to make your little comments or ask the guest or myself questions. Simply dial, and it's toll-free. The owner pays for this, 1-800-433-1429, 1-800-433-1429, and Frank tells me when there's a caller, and I try to get to you as soon as my guest is done saying what it is that he wants to say. And listen, please check out some of these sites. I would really like you to check out the radio site, which is Gianni Hayes, G-I-A-N-N-I, Hayes, H-A-Y-E-S, at att.net. Brian put that site up, and it's updated all the time, and it has the guest down there, and our guest tonight is on there as well. So please check that site out, and please check out my other sites such as www.creative-services.biz, and that has my 17 published books and many other things, my writing services, my speaking services, because I speak around the world. And you can also go to AmericanDTC.com, AmericanDrugTestingConsultants.com. If you are concerned your children or somebody's on drugs, we sell kits of all kinds. You can check for it. as well as we do workplace testing. And last but not least, my Christian Patriot site is www.thenazarzine, N-A-Z-A-R-Z-I-N-E, thenazarzine.com. And there's a lot of different ways now you can get us. So I want to tell you about my first guest here. And before I forget, every week I tell you to do this, and I am serious. I think it was just last week one of my college students brought forth an article about microwaves from cell phones and the danger of them. And I've been telling you this now for over a year. And Frank, who owns American Voice Radio, sells these cell phone filters. I have six of them. Look, you can't go wrong by buying them. They're inexpensive, and at least they block it. Supposedly 99% of the microwaves, and I'm going to tell you, they have found out more and more that soft cartilage tissue in the ear and in the brain is being affected by cell phones. And I've also mentioned to you in the past that Johnny Cochran, the attorney, his daughter says that he died of a brain tumor that they believe was caused because he was on his cell phone all the time. So all you have to do is contact Frank at AmericanVoiceRadio.com and tell him you want to buy a filter, and it's less than $20, and you know what? You've protected yourself and you've protected your kids. Well, my first and only guest tonight, he's on for 2 hours. I've had him on before. He's always an interesting guest, is author and pastor Fred R. Coulter. And if you want to check him out, go to www.cbcg.org. C as in Charlie or Christian, B as in Bob, C as in Christian, G as in Garage, .org, O-R-G, not .com, .org. So, you know, he's here tonight to answer questions, and I've asked him to come on because I always have questions about what the Bible says and what people say and what we're supposed to know what is right. So if you've ever wondered things about, you know, how God could have ordered all those Israelites to kill the Ammonites and all the other people in the first five books of the Old Testament, he's going to talk about that because, you know, we are told God is a loving and just God, and that's pretty cool because they killed the babies and raped the women and killed them and whatnot. So he's going to talk about all these questions. Even is America in the Bible in end times? Is America Babylon? We're going to talk about predestination because there are a lot of people who believe that when you're born, you're either earmarked to be saved or not. It doesn't matter what you do throughout your life, so we're going to talk about that as well. Lots of different questions. I also want to ask him about the death sentence, how if he feels that is Christian or not. Would God want us to put people to death that way or anyway? And we're going to talk about homosexuality. Hey, you name it, and we're going to talk about it. And all you have to do is call in and ask questions or make comments if you would like. And I'm going to ask Mr. Coulter, Pastor Coulter, what he thinks about the devil. You know, I've had a lot of guests on who truly believe there is a devil in form. And I have other guests on who poo-poo that idea and say, nah, that's not true. So we're going to get it from a pastor and see what he has to say. And, you know, does he believe even that evil could be incarnated in human beings? So these are just a few of the questions that we're going to talk about tonight, as well as whatever questions you might have. Fred R. Coulter attended the University of San Francisco and graduated from San Mateo State College before graduating from Ambassador University, which was then Ambassador College, Pasadena, California, with a BA in theology. He was ordained a minister of Jesus Christ in 1965, and he pastored churches of God in the Pacific Northwest, the Mountain States, and the greater Los Angeles area and Monterey, including the Central Coast area in California. Mr. Coulter completed advanced biblical and ministerial studies in 1972-75 under the Ambassador University's master's program. While completing these studies, his professor of Koine Greek encouraged him to consider translating the book of the New Testament. Fred Coulter resigned from the Worldwide Church, the in the fall of 1979, which had left a little bit, caused a little bit of turmoil. And after completing his formal instruction in Greek, Mr. Coulter continued to expand his knowledge by undertaking a verse-by-verse study of the books of the New Testament using the Byzantine text. And if you don't think that's difficult, you should try that. In the course of his study, he was moved to translate the gospel accounts into clearer, more understandable English for contemporary readers. The early fruit of his labor, and this is the title of his book, A Harmony of the Gospels in Modern English, is now in its third edition. His other books include Lord, What Should I Do? It's a book for Christians who are confused and bewildered by the escalating spiritual and doctrinal chaos in Christian churches today. And another book, The Seven General Epistles, is designed for in-depth, verse-by-verse study of the epistles. A Harmony of the Gospels in Modern English discusses the message and purpose of Jesus. The Christian Passover book that he also wrote is a book of over 500 pages that details the scriptural and historical truths of the Passover in both the Old and New Testaments. And that sounds like a great book. And online studies for serious Bible students are also available. So I'm going to ask him about some of these things that in his book, and he's going to he has a gift for you tonight. So he's going to tell you about that. So welcome, Fred Coulter.
Yes, thanks, Gianni.
Well, how are you tonight?
Well, I'm doing fine. Let me just mention three other books.
Okay.
The Day Jesus the Christ Died, which shows the rest of the story that Mel Gibson left out on his famous movie. And The New Testament in its original order, which we will send both of those free to anyone who goes on our website, cbcg.org, which stands for Christian Biblical Church of God. And also, we have another book. We're on our second printing on it right now. We're not quite done getting it printed. It is Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days. Which?
That was great.
Yeah. And then another book which springboards from the Occult Holidays, God's Holy Days book, which is God's Plan for Mankind Revealed by His Sabbath and Holy Days.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon we're going to have the entire Bible in its original order out. We're right now getting the finalizing of the binding of it, and we should have it in a couple of months here.
Well, that sounds great. I know some of those I'm even interested in myself, but your occult book was extremely well done.
Okay, well, let's get going.
Let's get going. First of all, let me start with this, Fred. Just for some of my listeners who are familiar when you were with Worldwide Church of God, in a very brief way, can you tell us what happened and why you left, and then we'll move on to the questions.
Well, what happened was this. It, very typical. Church starts out evangelical, growing, everyone is enthused, sacrificing. Then it develops into an institutional stage where then people are attracted to the buildings, to the grounds, and the real deep repentance and conversion that God requires is sort of left by the wayside. So you have a church filled with people who really do not believe. You end up with a corrupt ministry and corrupt handling of the tithes and offerings that the people sent in. And so that's why I resigned in 1979, and the college no longer exists, and Worldwide Church of God, which had over 170,000 attendees at one time, is now down to about 29,000. Many of the others are scattered into other churches of God. But it brings out something very important, which you find in the Old Testament and New Testament. God always corrects his own first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if there's sin, God will judge it and take care of it. He always judges his own first.
All right,
then he judges the world.
So let's talk a little bit about judgment. You know, Fred, I guess I have gone back and forth on the death penalty thing. And, I go into the Bible and I read it, and of course I see the particular verse everybody cites, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, and yeah.
Okay.
Well, let me finish. So it's okay to kill people. So, but what I'm saying now, we have these laws out that say, no, we're not supposed to be doing that, et cetera, et cetera. And we have groups out there saying no capital punishment, yada, yada, yada. What do you think?
Well, it's not a matter of what I say. It's a matter of what the Bible says, and what God says is the most important thing, because if you believe God's word is true, if you believe that his commandments are holy and righteous and pure, if you believe that God gave the commandments to us because of his love so we could learn how to live and get along with each other, then God has also provided a way to take care of those who are incorrigible sinners. So, yes, the reason, and we need to understand this, is that what we are talking about here generally is not involving people who are deeply converted. We're talking about people in the world who, in many cases, have very little knowledge of God, or the knowledge of God that they have, they don't apply in their lives, etc. So when there is premeditated murder, God says that with the proper judgment, you shall take him out and execute him.
So you're in agreement then with capital punishment?
Oh, yes. God is the one who gave capital punishment, and that is called the ministration of death. Now, the church does not administer the administration of death today, because God has given that to all the sovereign nations, not to his church. Now, when there are other lesser crimes, you said eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, and so forth, but people don't read far enough to understand what it really means. Because it says in Exodus 21 that these all pertain to how the judge will determine that the violator should pay. In other words, if men get in a fight and beat up each other, and one of them is severely injured, and say he loses a hand or a foot, then the violator is to pay for the loss of his hand or foot, which is also the basis for our modern insurance that we have today, for like car insurance and liability insurance and so forth. And also God had it that if someone would steal, you steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he will restore fivefold.
Right.
Four for a sheep, etc.
Right, and I get that part.
Yeah, but so there's restitution. Now this solves a lot of problems that the society has today, which is this. Those who commit crimes not worthy of death can be rehabilitated. They have to pay back to the person directly that they have violated. And this teaches them the lesson, don't go and sin anymore. You also have a benefit with the death penalty, because those people who have committed crimes worthy of death should be executed life for life in that situation. And manslaughter is another proposition that is not premeditated murder. But if you look at all of the, especially here in America, but also around the world, the prison systems that men have set up, you have so many lifers in prison, which is really cruel and unusual punishment for years and years and years and years. And if you want to watch some of these prison expose programs and documentaries, you will see that is truly cruel and unusual. Now, the reason that God said execute them is because God also shows in the Bible that there will be a time when all of those people who have died innocently, not knowing God, etc., etc., will be raised back to a second physical life. So God will take care of the problem in the long run.
Okay, so let's backtrack. Now, let's put it in simple terms. Are you saying, yes, people should be put to death if they murdered? Is it just murdered in your eyes, Fred, or should they be put to death if they beat somebody beyond recognition and they're never going to heal again but they live, or if they rape somebody 1,000 times over and the person's going to live but is emotionally scarred? Should they be put to death, or
yes,
is it just
rape, kidnapping, pedophiles, all receive the death penalty?
Okay. So I guess I'm letting this sink in because, you know, I went through this period when everybody says, oh, no, no, you know, God doesn't want us to kill anybody. We put him in the prisons because it's wrong to take life for life. And you're telling me, no, that's not true. It is okay to take a life for life.
That's what God says. If you believe what God says, then that's what the society should do. But they claim to believe in God, but they don't. Now, just take the situation with pedophiles. Look at how the plague comes across the land today in many other countries, especially Southeast Asia. So if you had a system that eliminated them, people would hear and fear, and they wouldn't get involved in it. But unfortunately, too many of the officials in the various governments and so forth are involved in it in themselves, or don't believe in it. They don't believe God. And so you end up with massive problems whenever you have a society that doesn't believe in the true God. They may be religious, but if they don't believe in the true God and follow the word of God, in the nations, according to the laws of the Old Testament, then they are going to develop corrupt societies.
All right, so let's go back to the question I posed when I was introducing you. And in the first five books, particularly I think it was Exodus and maybe Numbers. I can't remember, Fred, offhand. I don't even have it in front of me.
Okay.
Do you remember when the Lord said to the Israelites after they left Egypt that the land was theirs? Israel was Canaan then.
Yes.
That it was theirs, and all they had to do was to go in there and conquer the people. And he made it very clear to slaughter babies, to kill the adults, rape the women, plunder, whatnot. And I also understand that people...
No, he didn't say rape the women.
Well, whatever term it was.
Go ahead.
That's what they did do. They raped the women as well.
No, they weren't supposed to do that.
Well,
but go ahead.
Okay. Well, they weren't supposed to do that, but I know that's what they did. I mean, I wasn't personally there now, Fred, so I
yeah.
But, you know, but
if
I don't
you
know,
were, congratulations.
You know what? I would be worth a lot of money if I were there then, you know. So here's my question. I read this in the Bible, and, you know, I read my Bible every day, and every time I read these chapters, I mean, my heart just kind of, you know, plunges, because God is telling, this loving, merciful, just God who would never hurt anybody.
He didn't say he would ever hurt
anybody. Well, let me pose my situation here. Tells his own people, you want that land, you go in there, and you take those people. And you kill them, and you slaughter them, and you kill the babies, and all the different things they did were just horrible. Why would a loving, just God do that?
Okay. Let's go back to the judgment of God. First of all, the promise given to Abraham, where the descendants of Isaac and Jacob would receive the land, there's a very interesting thing here, which is very important. In Genesis 15 and verse 16, when it talks about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, and that was 430 years after this particular time here, by the way, but in the fourth generation they shall come out again, for the iniquity of the Amorites, which then means all the Canaanites, is not yet full. So God does not give those kind of instructions, nor does he himself execute that kind of thing, unless there is overwhelming corruption and sin. Now, this is what happened before the flood, that all flesh had corrupted his way. Every thought of every person was evil, only continually, all the time, And that's why God brought the flood and destroyed the world then. Now, let's look at some mercy that God has. When you come to Genesis 18, we have where the Lord and two angels were going down to execute their judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, right, and I remember this. Go ahead.
And he wanted to find out if the cry and sigh of the sins coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah were as bad as the cry and sighs that was coming up to heaven. So he told Abraham what he was going to do. And Abraham bargained with him. He said, well, what about 50? What about 45? What about 40? What about 35? What about 30? What about 20? Finally got down to it. What about five men here? Let's see, 10. All right, you take all of Sodom and Gomorrah, if there were only 10 that were righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about, he wouldn't have destroyed it. Now, God destroyed everything there because there weren't even 5 or 10 righteous men. All you had was Lot and his two daughters and his wife really didn't believe and turned around and looked at the utter destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the smoke going up, she turned into a pillar of salt.
Right.
We have another case in Jeremiah, the 5th chapter, where God is pronouncing terrible punishments against the house of Judah for their sins, and they were really just becoming outlandish. You have what we might say the land is just oppressed with sin with everyone. So he gave them these instructions. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know and seek inner open places if you can find a man. If there is one who does justice, who seeks the truth, I will pardon it. So that's
the purpose of God. All the people that they killed in the first 5 books, you're telling me that every single one of them, thousands of them, were evil. Fred, hold your thought. I'm not going to let you. You're going to go to break, Fred, so don't go away. Listeners, we're coming right back. You're listening to great shows.
Okay, love the music.
SwissAmerica.com reports Wednesday gold prices rose nearly 2% as the dollar marked historic lows and oil prices topped $115 a barrel. Gold closed in New York up $16.80 to $945.50. Silver rose 45 cents to $18.30. The dollar sank to an all-time low against the euro, with U.S. inflation at the wholesale level coming in 3 times as high as expected in March, reports CNN. More at SwissAmerica.com. In 2008, gold entered a new investment-driven phase that'll push prices above $2,000 an ounce in the next few years, according to Swiss America. Rising inflation is likely the next economic volcano to erupt. Call today for a free copy of Gold, The Next Stage at 888-732-7411. That's 888-732-7411. Again, 888-732-7411 before gold prices erupt further.
The National Americanism Commission of the American Legion has a lot to say in its recent study about illegal immigration. It says in part that more Americans are killed by illegal aliens than die in the Iraq War. In 2005, says the report, Congressman Sylvester Reyes of Texas said in a news release that more than 75,000 immigrants from countries other than Mexico have illegally crossed the U.S.-Mexico border, with approximately 36,500 crossing in the Border Patrol's Rio Grande sector, a 226% increase from the same period in 2004. So where does your state senator and representative stand on illegal immigration? Call them and demand an answer. If in doubt, contact the Kansas Minutemen at MCDC of Kansas at sbcglobal.net, and we'll tell you. Because you have a right to know.
K Can your family survive a food shortage lasting 2 weeks, 6 months, or maybe longer? Sound far-fetched? We live in precarious times. There is an ever-increasing possibility of food shortages caused by terrorist attacks, natural disasters, truck strikes, or monetary collapse. You owe it to yourself and family to prepare, and you can by getting a supply of our long-storing, freeze-dried, dehydrated foods. Our foods are time-tested to store for decades, require a minimum of time and energy to prepare while maintaining superior nutritional value, freshness, and taste. Our foods were designed for the space program and are in constant use today by our own nuclear submarine service. Contact the Freeze Dry Guide today at freezedryguide@landsat.com. That's freezedryguide@landsat.com or call 530-265-8333. 530-265-8333. And let them know you heard it on American Voice Radio.
All right, listeners, this is Dr. Gianni Hayes, and we're back with my show, The New World Order Disorder, with my special guest, Pastor Fred Coulter. If you have a question or a comment, just call in, and it happens to be toll-free, 1-800-433-1429. Let me do that again, 1-800-433-1429, or if you're the shy type and you just want to get your question out but you don't want to call in, and just go to the chat room by going to AmericanVoiceRadio.com, and at the right-hand corner at the very top of the chat room, just hit chat room, and voila, you'll be in the browser, and in the browser you put any old name in there that you want. But, you know, the easiest thing is just to call in 1-800-433-1429, and don't waste time trying to call in because we get backed up, and in fact, we have a caller on the line right now. Hello, caller. What is your first name, and where are you calling from?
Thank you, Dr. Hayes. This is Drew Raines. I'm one of the hosts on American Voice Radio.
Drew Raines, all my emails to you are being bounced back to me. You have bounced back to me.
Yeah, because I haven't cleaned out my box in 10 days, and I've been busy trying to get my all my emails corrected.
Well, Drew, I'm trying to send you something. Clean it out.
Okay, I'll do that as soon as I get off. I have a question here for the for your guest. My question is, he made a comment, if I may acquiesce backwards a little bit, that kidnappers are to be put to death. And I'm a sinner, so I admit I don't read the Bible enough, but I don't remember anything in the Bible, and I'd like to know where he picked that up, because we need to bring that forth.
Yeah, I'll get to the scripture at the next break when I have a chance to take a little time. I'll get it for you. But if anyone steals a man child or a woman child, they shall be put to death.
Yes. Okay, I'd appreciate it. I'll be listening off the air, or on the air there, or off the air, Johnny. And I'll clean my box up before the next break.
Thanks, Drew.
Okay.
All right, so, you know, Drew brought up a good question. So if you can find that citation, you know,
okay,
we'll go to the next break.
I'll do that on the next break, Johnny.
Yeah, but in the meantime, so what I was asking you right before we went to break then was, so all those people, the number of people they killed, and it's, you know, more than just the Canaanites and Ammonites and Amorites and so on.
Oh, men have fought and killed each other from time immemorial, yes.
But I'm talking about that these people, the Lord said to go in and kill them.
That's right.
And you're saying there was not one good person among them.
That's what God says.
So what was
He executes judgment against them. Now, let's understand also something, too. We need to understand what is sin so we can understand who's a sinner and why God does it. The Bible shows that sin is a transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4, and a literal translation means sin is lawlessness. Now, lawlessness is a very interesting thing because it's very clever in the human mind, which is this. All people think that they are good, even though they admit to sin. And all people think that their way is right, but it leads to misery and death. And because they don't keep the commandments of God, and we lay this at the doorstep of evangelical Protestantism, which says you don't have to keep the commandments of God when God says you ought to keep them. So let's just do a little survey, first of all, of what is sin. Then we can go back and analyze why God caused these things to be. All right, everyone knows the Ten Commandments, so let's just do a quick review of it. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. All right, all these nations, all of them, were worshiping Satan and demons. Now, they didn't think so, but they were, God said. So this is why you need to all know that the Word of God is true. Now, let's come to the second commandment. You shall not make for yourselves any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in the heavens above or that's in the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. So you look around at all of their idols. You look around at all of their statues. You look around and see, well, they're breaking the first two commandments. Are they sinners? Yes. Do they think they're sinners? No. Now, also, they we'll get to this in just a bit, but they also sacrificed their own children to the god Moloch to be burned in the fire alive. So that needs to be taken into consideration. That's what they were doing. Now, concerning idols, you're not to bow down to them. Now, notice, here's a very profound part of the second commandment. Okay? The Lord your God is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those that love me and keep my commandments. So, they're living in a completely pagan and godless society. Now, Hello?
Yeah.
Are we there?
I'm listening to you, Fred.
Okay. Now, let's take the case of the Assyrians and Nineveh, to whom God sent the prophet Jonah. And he said, repent because of your sins, or you're all going to die. God's going to destroy the nation. So what did they do? Beginning with the king, all the way down to the least of them, they repented in sackcloth and ashes and fasted for 3 days and also put sackcloth on all the animals, and God withdrew his hand of judgment. So you see, that shows God's mercy, and that shows God's love.
Fred, we have another caller. What is your first name, caller? Just your first name, and where are you calling from?
My name is Shar, and I'm calling from Maryland.
Okay.
And I had a question. Seeing as though you said that God said that people should die over, like, kidnapping women and stuff, should they die over more serious crimes such as rape towards women, seeing as though they did that?
Yes.
You agree with
so
that?
God pretty much said that if you sin, you should die?
Yes. Grievous sins, you lose your life immediately.
I thought he died on a cross to save the rest of our sins, meaning we could sin.
Well, you're not saved from sin till you repent. People have to repent. If there's no repentance, there's no salvation.
So how can you repent
someone,
if you're...
Someone who has the Spirit of God in relationship with God is not going to go out and kidnap or commit rape, but you have unconverted people in the world who go out and do this.
Isn't it possible for them to have done that and then repent and then ask God, you know,
well,
to forgive them and
judgment.
He do it?
You first
okay.
have judgment. Then there can be forgiveness. All are sinners and come short of the glory of God.
I think it's a good question, and I think, you know, what I think she's trying to straighten out that, you know, if God came and died for our sins, then are we not saved? Is that what you're saying, Char?
Yes.
Okay. Christ came, he died for our sins, but unless there is repentance, and repentance means great remorse for your sins, turning around from your way, which seems right to you, which leads to death, and then begin walking in the way of the Lord, which is defined by the commandments of God. Now, if they don't, there's no eternal life. There's no forgiveness. There must be repentance before forgiveness. That's where the Protestant world just doesn't understand it.
Okay, Sharon, does that answer the question?
Yes, that answers it.
Okay. Thank you. Here's, I think, going along with that particular question, then you know, let's ponder this for a minute. If you have repented, if you have told the Lord you are truly sorry, and you still go out and commit sin, either intentionally or unintentionally, Fred, once you've been saved and you commit sin, are you condemned to hell or are you still saved?
Well, if a person has repented, received the Holy Spirit of God, number one, they're not going to go out and do major crimes. Number two, when they sin and repent, those sins are forgiven. But as Jesus said, go and sin no more. We are to live a life where we are overcoming sin. We are overcoming human nature. Those who have the Spirit of God are the ones who are doing it. Christ did not come to do it for us. He came to provide a means of forgiveness so he can forgive us, and then with his Holy Spirit and our wholehearted cooperation in loving God and serving him, that we're not going to be walking in the way of sin.
Okay, let's go with that. Let's just say that they do sin even after they have been saved. Do they have to be saved all over again, or?
No, they don't have to be saved all over again. Here, in 1 John, the first chapter, it tells us exactly the whole process, which is very important to understand. But you see, let's put it this way. There is a sorrow of the world which a lot of people feel may be repentance, but it's not repentance. It's like the murderer who is caught and he says to the police, "Don't shoot, don't shoot, don't shoot." See, deep repentance is a really giving yourself completely to God, forsaking your sins, forsaking your way of life, forsaking, yes, your thoughts, and re-educating and converting your mind to develop the mind of Christ. That's the whole process of conversion.
All right, we have another caller, Fred. Caller, what is your first name only, and where are you calling from?
Lilia, caller from Maryland.
Okay.
I wanted to comment on something that he said. He had said that all of us, everyone that sinned should go. Sin is equal to death. But I wanted to quote out, wasn't we all born into sin? And if that's the case, then what's the point of repenting and so that you can get accepted into asking God for forgiveness before you get accepted into heaven? Right?
Okay.
I don't
know if I quite understand the question. In other words, if we're all born sinners, what's the use? Let's go out and sin, for tomorrow we die. Well, let's understand this. Just in human life, even with innocent children that have done nothing, have innocent children died, say, death syndrome? Have they died because of diseases that they have had? Yes. All human beings die because that's how God said it is. We die in Adam. Salvation is a completely different thing. It's not what most of the churches in the world believe. And what they teach is a shallow a conversion that does not really change the life.
But so, you are not saying that, I want to make sure I understand this, that people who become ill or diseased, that's not a punishment. You're not saying that, right?
No, that's just the consequences of that we have, we have a death gene in us, and that's it.
But you're not saying that God is punishing us by giving us diseases or...
He can. Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26.
So, Fred, are you telling me that people who are suffering with cancer and other things, that is a result because they were bad, and so God has punishing them with that?
Well, it's probably a result of many wrong things, wrong diet, not taking care of self. It's probably the result of today, a lot of the chemicals and things that they put in the food and put in the water. So it reaches out to many different things. For example, you had the advertisement there about brain tumors from cell phones. Well, they say now 500 people a day get brain tumors. Well, they're breaking a law, a physical law, whether knowingly or unknowingly, and just like the law of gravity, whether knowingly or unknowingly, deliberately or not, if you fall down, you're going to hurt yourself. And if you drop from 12,000 feet without a parachute, you're going to die.
But are you telling me that? I mean, I want to make sure I understand this. You're telling me that innocent people who get diseases, they've not done anything wrong, but are you telling me that is a punishment from God?
There are automatic laws in the body.
But, yeah, but wait, yes or no, Fred? Don't, I mean, yes
no,
or no? Is that what you're telling me?
You're confusing the two, okay? If you have a sickness or a disease, you have broken some physical law that God put into the body. And in the healings that Jesus did, he told different ones, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you.
Okay.
That's automatic. God doesn't have to do anything. He set the law in motion. There it is.
But this is what you're saying, right? I mean, am I interpreting it right? I just want to make sure about that, that you are saying that however it comes about, if you've sinned and you have a disease, you're being punished. That's
Well, sometimes someone sins against you and you get it, like catching the flu. But you still get it because the physical law was broken.
Okay. All right. I mean, I just wanted to hear what your opinion was. I'm not so sure I agree with that. I'm not even sure I totally understand that thinking, but...
Well, yeah, it's something that people are so indoctrinated into not taking care of their bodies the way they ought to. There are so many things out there on how to take care of your body and avoid a lot of things that helps. All of those things help. See, because transgression of any law is a sin, whether it's a physical sin, a spiritual sin, a mental sin, whether it is sin against neighbor, sin against enemy, whatever.
All right.
Some sins are worthy of death. Some sins are not worthy of death. Some sins are recoverable, like when you have the flu and you do all the things you need to get well, and you get well, that's fine. You've overcome that.
Yeah, I get that part. I know what you're saying.
Okay.
Let's go on to another issue then, because,
okay.
You know, we're supposed to be looking at various angles, and we've covered a couple, so I want to cover something else now. I want to know, in the chat room, we have some people in my chat room, and I'm sure they go into other chat rooms as well. I guess they feel in their hearts that the Jews are an inferior race and that they have caused all the problems that we have today, including 9/11. And I'm wondering, do you interpret anywhere, any place in the Bible as the Jews being this group of people, and particularly now who have grown into what the people, some of the people in the chat room feel are power elite, they are the decision makers, they own the world?
That's a good question. Whoever gets into those positions, it doesn't matter if they're a Jew or not. If they do things that are evil, they cause a lot of evil to come upon people. Look at the current meltdown in the financial system that we have today. It's because all of the bankers, regardless of who they were, who they are, what they are, you can't blame the Jews. You can blame those who did it. Some are Jews, some are not. Some are Gentiles, some are black, some are Hispanic, some are Indian, you know, some are Asian. But they have created a financial system based on debt that it is so absolutely incredible what they have done. All of them, as a group, are sinners and robbers, and all of us are suffering from that system.
All of the Jews are sinners and robbers.
No, I said all of those who sin are sinners and robbers.
Right.
If they're Jews, if they're Brits, if they're Americans, if they're black, if they're Hispanic, if they're Asian, if they're Indian, if they're Russian, okay?
Okay, but I'm talking about the Jews, because this, there is always a discussion by one or two people in a chat room regarding...
The Jews have their peculiar problems, and the problems relate to the rejection of Jesus Christ, and the other problems reject to actually get into their own peculiarities and relating with other people. Now, I've met many, many fine, converted, wonderful Jews.
What if they're not converted?
You can't take a broad brush and say, all Jews, the Jews are behind it. No, when you really analyze it, Satan, the devil, is the one who is behind it, whether he is Jew or whether he is Gentile.
Okay. So, but do you think that the Jews own the majority of things and they are the trendsetters in terms of politics and rules and laws? And, you know, do you think they're that powerful of a group?
Well, of the top 100 most powerful people in the world, 50 of them are Jews. So you can say that's partially correct.
Uh-huh. And all the international bankers, do you think they are Jews?
No, not all of them.
Okay.
To go ahead and do that, to label it that way, is incorrect.
Well, I'm reading what's in the chat room. That's why I'm asking these questions.
Yeah, okay.
So I guess then what I'm saying to you is that you tend to agree that the world policies that are being set are done by powerful Jews in decision-making positions.
Many of them are done by powerful Jews, powerful Americans, powerful Brits, powerful Arabians, powerful Indians, powerful Chinese, powerful Japanese. You can't restrict it just to Jews. To do that is absolutely incorrect and not true.
Well, I agree, but I'm saying, do you think that a lot of the decision-making, Fred, in the world is done by a power elite that has a central group of Zionists or Jews?
Oh, yeah, there's a power elite in the world. It includes Catholics, Jews, Protestants, atheists, you know, secularists, the whole thing.
All right. I know that there are other groups as well besides the Jews who are in power elite positions, but for the sake of what was going on in the chat room, I was trying to learn if you felt that a majority of those were Zionists.
No, people who believe that are too simplistic in their understanding, and what they're trying to do is perpetually label the Jews. Well, you can't perpetually label the Jews. That's incorrect.
All right, let's talk about the power elite. You do believe then, Fred, that there are a group of people out in the world who actually run the world, and do you see this group of people putting together a new world order, or we already have it?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty well along. A very interesting thing, go online and look up the conference they had in January in Davos, Switzerland, and you will see that all the power elite were there, which were many people from many different countries, And these are the billionaire, you know, they've got all kinds of money. And they're the ones who run and control everything.
Right,
and they're not all Jews.
Well, no, of course not. I mean, I certainly agree with you, Fred, but for the sake of what was going on in the chat room, I wanted to ask a question. But, you know, you didn't have no hesitation of saying there's going to be a new world order or that we are following biblical prophecy in terms of there's going to be a one world government. Before you answer that, then let me ask you this part of the question as well. Isn't it feasible that the power elite have contrived this whole situation to make us think that we are in end times?
Well, there are too many signs in prophecy that match what's going on today that's not putting us, making us think we're in the end times.
All right.
We are actually
in the end
times.
We're going to take it right here, Fred. I want you to hold that thought because I want you to continue with that when we come back. And we're going to talk about homosexuality and other things.
Listen, okay.
Don't go far. We're coming right back here.
Thank you.